Okay, let's bring the court to order, please. Is there anyone that would like to do the opening prayer this morning? Any volunteers? Any volunteers? Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Heavenly Father, we just praise you as our one true God and our Creator. And Lord, we thank you for the many blessings that you've given us. Lord, we pray for your wisdom and your guidance over this commissioner's court today. We pray that we would do everything in love and we would do everything that would glorify you. Pray that you would be with those that are hurting around the world, those that are in need. I pray that you would open our eyes to see those who are in need and show us how we can help. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you'll join me in our pledges to the United States and Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Let the record reflect that all members of court are present today, and commissioners, I would entertain a motion to approve our court agenda.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Item number 7, proclamations and resolutions. Mr. Forrester.
Commissioners and County Judge, thank you for allowing me to make this presentation on behalf of the Montgomery County Historical Commission. About a year and a half ago, the Historical Commission, which is an arm of your Commissioner's Court in Montgomery County, elected to start a program called the Distinguished Service Award, and specifically recognizing individuals who have contributed immeasurably to the preservation and promotion of the history of Montgomery County. And last year, you may recall, Kay Dawes from East Montgomery County received the first William Harley Gandy Distinguished Service Award. This year, we are very pleased to recognize a young woman with the local Conroe Courier who has distinguished herself for the service that she's provided in partnership with our Historical Commission and many other historical societies in Montgomery County to help us promote and preserve the history of Montgomery County. That young lady, who's a transsection editor for the Conroe Courier, is none other than Sandra Hernandez. And Sandra, very, very quickly, is, as I said, the transsection editor. Her job and her passion has been to retrieve information and work with me and other local historians on digging out untold stories or undertold stories about Montgomery County and the individuals that made this county so great over the last 180 years now. And we're very pleased that Sandra has been such an integral part of what we do. Her support comes in large measure from her editor, Andy Dubois. And at this time, I'm going to ask Sandra and Andy to come forward, and I want to give her a present to her. And Judge Dole, if you don't mind stepping forward, and for that matter, the commissioners could as well, I'd like to get a picture with this presentation. And Sandra, do you have any comments you want to make while the judge is coming down about this?
Sure. I think it's a tremendous honor to be a recipient of this award, especially when there are so many in the commission who do so much for the preservation of the county. Quick thank you to my parents, who when we were growing up, my brother and I, our vacations consisted of going to all the historic missions and things like that. And so that has fostered a lifelong love of history. Give support to Andy and to Catherine and to the entire Courier staff and to Mr. Forrester and Historical Commission and the Genealogy Department. And then lastly, to my own family, my husband who's here today, and my two kids. So thank you very much for this honor.
Andy, do you have any comments?
I'm fortunate not to work with, I guess a few, yeah. I'm fortunate not to work with Sandra since
around 1999 when she was a student at Sam Houston State University, and she started working for the Courier, and she's worked her way up from an administrative assistant to a reporter to an editor. I'm very proud of what she's done, not only for the Courier, but for Montgomery County. This was a tremendous project that she took on over the past year to recognize not only the 125th anniversary of the Courier, but also the history of Conroe and Montgomery County. She's done an exceptional job. She's done tons of research, gone through tons and tons of microfilm at the library. Very proud of the job she's done, and we have received so much great comments from the community on it. And so we're going to continue it, try to do it on a weekly basis moving forward. She's graciously said that she wants to do that. It's something that our readers will enjoy moving forward.
Congratulations, Sandra, and thank you to all of the Montgomery County Historical Society members and all that you do in the preservation of history and the memories of what created this great county. So thank you all. All right, commissioners, we need a motion to approve our minutes from our commissioners' court regular session dated January 9th, 2018.
Move.
Second.
Any questions or comments on those? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, under consent, commissioners, I have one item that does need to be moved to the open agenda, item 9G1A. Sorry, I don't have it. It's on page 5. And it will need to be placed after item 18A1 in the open agenda.
And, Judge, I have one item. It is 9D4.4 on page 4.
94.4.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other changes, commissioners?
I move on with changes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, let's go to 9B4.4.
This is purchasing Gilbert. I know Evan let you know we were moving this forward. If you could just give us an idea of what this is and what the cost associated with it is.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is an amendment to the Texas DIR contract. It's a non-monetary amendment that the state typically does throughout the contract life. There's, again, no monetary value to the change orders. And I did some research on how much money has been spent, and there's no money has been spent on this contract. So this is a contract that can be utilized by county departments throughout the year to buy items within the contract. I guess it's mostly IT items.
All right, I just couldn't figure that out based on the backup and
right.
information.
I apologize for that.
And since everything else had a dollar amount specified,
right. Yeah, there's no dollar.
I wanted to make sure
there's no dollar amount.
There was stuff in there. Good. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
My move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, that takes us to our end of our consent agenda. So I have no one that signed up to speak on any items on the Commissioner's Court agenda today. Under item 11A, the 2017 Historical Commission Annual Report to Montgomery County Commissioner's Court. Mr. Forrester.
Glad to be back in front of you, and I'll make this quick. In front of you is the annual report that our Historical Commission gives, and I'd like to take a moment to recognize those members of the Commissioner's Court appointed, of our Historical Commission appointed by Commissioner's Court. We've got Sue Ann Powell, we've got Robin Barthelet, our former chairman of the Historical Commission, Gertie Spencer's here, Ron Sikowski's here, Heather Montgomery is here. Am I missing anybody else on the Commission? I think that's it today. Just for the benefit of the audience, I need to make a point here that I think sometimes is misunderstood. Our Historical Commission is not a 501c organization. We are not a charitable organization. We're not a nonprofit organization. We are, in effect, a department of the Montgomery County, of Montgomery County. By statute, we're created by the state legislature, reporting both to the Montgomery County Commissioner's Court who appoints us, and every other year you reappoint us at your pleasure. And also, we also report to the Texas Historical Commission. So it's my responsibility every year as the chairman of this Historical Commission to submit this report, and I'll be submitting a similar report to the Texas Historical Commission within the next couple of weeks. You've got this report in front of you, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time because your time is valuable today. I do want to point out two things as you look at the report. Three things, I suppose. Every year we have a history road rally in various parts of the county. One year, Montgomery County, it's a historical scavenger hunt for families and so forth. One year was at Montgomery, the next year Conroe, then Willis, Danville area, last year Magnolia, and Commissioner Nowak, this year we're going to have our history road rally in your area.
Very good. Thank you.
March the 23rd, Saturday, March the 23rd, there'll be more information about that. This past year, we had one new state historical marker for Lake Creek Settlement in Montgomery. We had four new county historical markers located in Willis, in Magnolia, in Conroe. And so we were very pleased to do that. And again, we just thank you for your support. Again, the report sort of speaks to what we've been doing this last year. One final thing that I'll mention is this year you permitted and supported us in our efforts to have the first regional County Historical Commission meeting in Conroe back on October the 13th. We had about 33 different organizations representative, county historical commissions from all over the area, we had representatives from the Texas Historical Commission speak to us. Was well attended. We learned a great deal, and we networked real well with each other so that we can continue to exchange ideas on how to make the history come alive in each of our counties. Again, I thank you for your time, your support, and we're honored to serve Montgomery County.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Great job.
Motion on accepting that report. Do we need to?
I move.
Second.
Thank y'all for coming this morning. I don't know how many.
Yeah, I can. Thank you.
Thousands and thousands of personal hours that y'all put in this operation, but it's certainly well received. Thanks for all you do.
Thank you. All right, I have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. Motion carries. All right. Okay, item 12A, Veteran Services. Good morning. How are you?
Morning,
Kate.
I'm good. Thank you. Okay, so I have a small presentation here that's not going to take that long. Let me pass out. Before I get to my agenda item, I wanted to kind of give y'all a little bit of an update.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate.
You've been busy.
Yeah.
Wow. All with three employees. So just to start out, we actually have seen a lot of growth in what we do, and I contribute that basically to the fact that when I opened my tax statement, I saw that we had a population of over 600,000 people in Montgomery County. 10% of your population is going to be veterans. So that's an enormous growth. So when the county grows, so does our veterans population. So we're seeing a lot more veterans in our office. So let me get started here. This actually is just kind of a scale of the appointments and that we've seen, people that we've seen in our office from 2016 versus, you know, this last year, 2017. This actually calculates out to a 69% increase in people that we see in our office. So that's quite a big jump, we think. And then the claims that we submit to the VA, we've seen at least a 39% increase in the volume that we do on the claims. So my agenda item is about the accreditation funding. And so we did this in the past. Last January, we actually went to the classes. It really took until September of this last year for us to know, you know, what success this was going to be for us. A lot of training that we had to do with the VA, a lot of verification of our identities and all of that stuff, because we now have access to a lot of important information. So they have to, you know, to make sure that they're dealing with credible people. So what does this accreditation do for us, allows us to do? So we now have access to previously filed claims by veterans and those decisions that are rendered. That's very important because probably the majority of our veterans that come in our office basically only have 25% of the information that maybe they've turned into the VA. So now we're trying to deal with finding that other information. It's very important when you're filing a claim that you file an accurate claim because it will come back denied. And so we want to make sure that we're providing a good service to our veterans. Also, we're able to review previously submitted evidence. So if there's additional evidence that we can provide to the VA to make it a good claim, we want to do that. And we don't want to wait for the VA to come back and ask for it. We want to go ahead and provide it up front. So that's always a good thing. We have access to their military records. So we can see, you know, if there's injuries in service, if we can develop something and get that together for the VA. Also, we have access to exams. The VA schedules exams for these veterans, but sometimes they're not always with the right doctor. Sometimes they're not always a good exam. They don't have a lot of good information in them. We want to be able to point that out to the VA. So this allows us that access to that information. Also, it opens the door for better communication with the VA. Actually, because we have accreditation now, the VA is very good about sending veterans our way. They want to get their veterans the help that they need, so they're able to send them to us. So that's a better communication with them. So what does this mean to the veteran? How does this help them? Accurate claims application. So we want to make sure that we've got the information on the claims that's important to the veteran, that's important to the VA. The ability to review that evidence that's previously been submitted. We can better assist with the appeals process because we know what's gone on, what's been sent in. We can make a better argument for that veteran as to why their claim needs to be awarded. Also, we can point out clear and unmistakable errors that the VA makes. The VA is not perfect. It's a people system, so people make mistakes. So we're able to do that. Also, we can go in and print out decision letters. Here lately, I think the VA's been having some issues with their mailer contractor not getting letters out to the VA, to the veteran. That poses a problem because if the VA has denied them their claim, they only have a certain amount of time to appeal that. If they're not getting that decision letter, then they're not going to meet that appeal time. So that's where we're able to assist with that as well. Some of the success stories. Just basically because we have access now, we've been able really to help a lot more veterans. I'm only going to share a couple of stories with you. We had a veteran with an appeal pending. He had been waiting on the VA to schedule him for exams since April of this last year. This last month, we were able to see correspondence between the VA decision review officer and the veterans representative. And we could see that the VA dropped the ball. they didn't schedule those exams for the veteran. So I was able to contact the VA and actually get those exams scheduled for him. He just had those exams the very next week after we did that. So that's getting his claim processed. It's getting it sped up. Also, and I really would like to thank Commissioner Clark for allowing us to have an office in New Caney, because this success story comes from the East County office. We had a widow, World War II widow of a veteran, previously denied DIC, which is a compensation benefit, in 2011. We actually looked at the evidence that was submitted in 2011 and felt that the VA had made an incorrect decision. When we reapplied, we then received a call from a VA representative, which is unusual. Now we have accreditation. They're contacting us. And they advised us that the widow had been granted back to 2011.
Wow.
So she now is going to receive a retro pay of $125,000. And she's going to receive a monthly check from here on out of $1,525 a month. So I think it's just so important that, you know, the court know how successful this is for us to be able to access this information. And then this is kind of the regulations that the National Association has for maintaining our accreditation. We have to complete classroom hours in order to keep that. We have to pass the accreditation test. And we have to maintain our membership with the association. And so that's kind of the end of my presentation. So my agenda item for the court to consider, consider and approve funding for continuing accreditation training and testing to the National Association of Credit County Veteran Service Officers for three employees in the amount of $5,500, with $4,600 being allocated to line item 405-7425, travel and expenses, and $900 being allocated to line item 405-7418, professional development. Please name a funding source.
I move contingency.
Second.
Okay, it looks like from your paperwork and your graph there, summertime is your big, busy...
I think it must be just the season.
Well, they feel like getting out.
I guess so.
But what I'm driving at, you have three employees.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time you received help?
When I asked for my third employee, it's been probably more than 10 years.
Yeah. I know it's the middle of budget year.
Mm-hmm.
I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is so, so important. And we all know how we're growing. And as you said, the growth brings more veterans here.
Mm-hmm.
It puts more stress, more... Don't... Are you staffed okay, is what I'm driving at. Do you need help now? Can you wait till the budget, till October? Don't overwork your staff, because you may need a part-time or you may need some kind of help. If that's where you are,
mm-hmm.
we need to know that.
Yeah. We really do need someone, at least one other person, because I have moved what was my administrator to an actual assistant position. She's still doing that same administrative job, but also doing the assistant job. It's something that I am looking to budget for. I think we can manage until we do budget get that done.
But if it gets to where you just can't,
mm-hmm.
and it's affecting the veterans,
and we
please
never
come
want,
back and tell us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We
you know,
never
we can,
want that to happen. We've actually implemented appointments in our office, which usually helps us because we're not so inundated all at 12 o'clock. With, you know, 10 veterans wanting to see us. So the appointments have actually made it easier for us to maintain this. But, yes, it is getting to be a bit overwhelming.
Well, if it gets unmanageable, please come back and let us know.
I will, yes, and
great,
you know,
great job.
I think that's
going
to be happening, so.
Yeah, I get more comments on your department,
oh, yeah.
Favorable comments from the veterans that you've helped, and thank you for what you do.
Thank
you. Tell
you.
Your heart's in it.
So. I love it.
Any other questions or comments, commissioners? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank
for what you.
You.
Great job.
Thank
Kate.
You.
Thank you.
Well, precinct two.
Morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Good morning.
Morning.
If I may have the court's permission, I'd like to say something before my agenda items, if that's okay.
Sure. Go ahead.
Our office is one of the smallest staff constables' offices amongst the five constables in the county. And therefore, when we have people go down, we're strapped. Our workload increases. A lot of things happen. I have two individuals that are on FLMA now. One of them recently had open heart surgery, and the other individual has a wife that is severely ill from cancer. And these two individuals are vital parts to our department. And I'm here today to ask to bring up a part-time individual up to full-time, which would give us an extra 12 hours. On the agenda, it's consider and approve closing position 5521-5910-500, part-time deputy constable, and opening full-time position 5521-5910-7, a full-time deputy constable, to be effective 2-3 of 2018. Additional funding in the amount of $4,992.62 will be needed. Please name the funding source. This will not include, we do not have to buy him uniforms. We do not have to buy him equipment. This is just solely for the position and nothing else involved to go with it.
How long have your two officers been on FMLA or FMLA-related absences?
I have one individual that will be out 4 to 6 months.
So when did it start? How long ago did it start?
Oh,
when did they go?
The most recent one was last week. The one before that has been ongoing since December, or maybe the end of November. The one that has a wife that has cancer that he's taking care of right now.
And these are both full-time deputies?
Yes, sir, they are. And both of them are supervisors, which makes it that much more difficult.
And the employee that you're wanting to move up to full-time, this is a contract employee that...
Yes, sir.
And his contract...
Well, yes, sir.
...was canceled?
That contract was canceled while we were sitting in just past year's budget out of Montgomery Trace, and y'all graciously let him come on at part-time. Now with the restraints that we're having with personnel issues and workload, that extra 12 hours would be extremely valuable to us.
I understand that, but will you have the same need once these people are back from FMLA? I mean, it seems like you're having an intermittent problem, maybe not an extended one, so.
Well, we've needed personnel for a long time. You know, we've scraped and we've crawled and we've scratched to get what we had, and
I guess my last comment on it would be, when things like this arise, and I know I've at least mentioned this before, I sure would appreciate having the elected official come before us and ask for this. Why you're always the one put in this situation, I'm not sure of, but it would come, at least to me, in a different light if the elected official would show up and make his case.
Captain, I see you need the individual there. I see that you need that individual there, no question. My concern is kind of like Commissioner Nowak. If your two full-time personnel come back, and then we've added another person in mid-year, I would be in favor of doing something to bring that person on for an extended period, but still leave that position a part-time position.
Well, why don't we go ahead and make this move, turn it into a full-time position. then at budget, we'll take another look at it and see where he is. But I agree, I think needs some help right now. And, Captain, is this $4,992 just for the remaining months of the budget, or is that for a full year?
Yes, sir. That
For the full year.
Yeah.
Okay, so really all he needs is from now till the end of September. Is that correct?
If you're going to reevaluate it at budget time, that would be correct.
How much would that be?
I don't know. I'd have to get that back for you.
Okay. I would move. I would move to add to Constable Precinct 2 budget whatever it takes for this deputy to be full-time between now and the end of September.
Where did the $49.92 come from now?
Well, most of it is coming from the insurance funding factor, but it's less than our insurance funding factor because there is a decrease in salary.
So he's going from part-time to full-time, and he needs $49.92 to be covered under insurance and benefits. Is that what we're saying?
That's correct.
And that's for a full year?
Where's the balance of his salary coming from?
Sir?
Where's the balance of his additional salary coming from?
It's my understanding there's a decrease in salary. It's just going to be more hours.
So correct? You've got the funding to cover that?
From the other position. In the FMLA paying the officer that's off, the money's coming from that position. Is that correct?
You can't do that.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
He's going to be slotted once he goes full time. He's going to be slotted as a 0-year deputy. That's why.
So his salary will actually drop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
His salary's going to actually drop, but we need the $49.92 to get him covered.
Get him covered.
Judge, my issue is I don't believe that the court is going to, when we reevaluate this, we're not going to, you know, terminate a law enforcement officer. I think we're heading in the wrong direction. Some of the constables have indicated they would be willing to lend you some assistance if you would ask. I think it's the wrong time, and I think that it's a temporary need that every department has to deal with from time to time. I mean, do you really see us going back and terminating a law enforcement officer?
Well, it may take it back to a part-time position like it is now.
I don't see us doing that, but if you can take a part-time position and make it a full-time position, it'll drop his salary, and we need 49, I think that's what we need to do. I think we need to move and do that today.
If personnel come back, we need to reconsider moving that back to a part-time position. Was that your motion, Commissioner?
No, I don't even want to consider moving it back to a part-time position. If you take a part-time position and you slot him as a 0 deputy at lower pay, we're coming out ahead of the game here and getting a full-time position. We're covering for benefits for $4,900.
Currently not receiving benefits as a part-time, depending on the number of hours he's budgeted for. Could we bring him in as a temporary full-time?
What good does that do us? I mean, what does that
and do gives us?
He's not receiving benefits right now in the position he has. Then we wouldn't have to pay extra money for the benefits.
And what's changed since July or August when we had the budget hearings and this court didn't believe that there was a need in Precinct 2 for another deputy full-time, and now all of a sudden we do?
We need him now to replace those two that are out in a temporary position.
It's hard to operate if you don't have anybody that can cover for somebody going down. And that could happen to any of them.
Right.
You got to have the people to operate. Yeah. I just believe this is what we need to do, and I would make the motion that we go with making him a full-time position with the $4,900.
So
that's my motion.
Commissioner Metter, you withdrawing your original motion?
I second Commissioner Riley's motion.
Okay.
All right. Any thoughts or comments? We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Opposed.
Aye. Motion carries 3-2.
Also, being on the part-time, he was receiving a car allowance.
Oh. Yeah, 4-1.
I voted against it.
Oh, you voted? I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm apologize, Judge. So how did the vote come out then?
3-2.
He's right.
3-2.
He's running this.
On B under number 13, consider and approve the amount of $29,616 for a vehicle. We're looking at just. We have a MAP truck that gets rotated every 6 months with Buckaloo. And instead of going out and asking money for a new equipment, new vehicle and everything, I've got a MAP truck that I can take the MAP equipment off of and leave the 2017 crew cab truck that's already marked and equipped at just a pure cost of the truck without having to cost the county any money for equipment and radios, cameras, striping, everything it takes to outfit a marked patrol car. It's already sitting there. And the vehicle, it's been run through purchasing, and it can be bought under the used vehicle purchase plan. The quote from Buckaloo for the vehicle itself was $27,000.25, and just an additional $25.91 for additional equipment that we can't put on the MAP truck, being that it needs to be returned back to Buckaloo as well. I'll need to finish this one out for a patrol vehicle.
And this is for your new full-time deputy that was just funded. What does he drive now?
He has an auto allowance. He has a 70% auto allowance right now.
Are you taking that? Is that going away?
That's considered in his. That will be going away.
Okay.
And being, you know, if he moved up to a full-time, my understanding is a new position, they have to go into a county vehicle. So unless I misunderstood. But I'm trying to do, you know, I pay taxes in the county like everybody else does, so I'm trying to get the biggest bang for the buck, I guess, and not have to spend $50,000+ for a new vehicle and outfit it when this one will do just as well.
So you take the MAP truck that you're driving now, buy it from Buckaloo.
Yes, sir.
It's ours.
Yes,
and
sir.
And put $2,500 worth of equipment in it.
Yes, sir. I don't have to put hardly any equipment on it at all. It's set ready to go.
Kind of stipend goes away.
And then I got a new MAP truck ready at Buckaloo to be put into service for my MAP deputy.
How much is the stipend? How much of this cost will the stipend cover?
For Angie, was the stipend used to offset his salary, and that's why it's only $4,900.
It's probably in there.
That's my guess. Is that that's what brought his salary down to $4,900 is his auto allowance went away, not that his salary was changing that dramatically. So really you need money to fund him and a car for somebody that the court 3 months ago recognized that you didn't need.
And we do need a funding source on the last motion too.
Gilbert, you looked at this purchase of the vehicle?
You want to... your motion.
Contingency on the
okay.
Prior motion.
Revote?
Did we revote?
Go ahead.
So,
on the prior.
Move.
I move.
On the original?
13. I mean,
the position we've already voted on, so you're talking about...
I need a funding source.
We need a funding source on the $4,900.
Hold on. Okay. So...
Contingency. Move.
Contingency. All in favor?
Opposed.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Still passes 3-2.
I just want to make sure we're getting
okay.
in for the auditor so she
Gotcha.
Knows where the funds are coming
Gotcha.
From.
Thank you, Commissioner Judge, for your time this morning.
No,
well, that was on A. We're still
on A.
That was just A.
Now we've got to figure out the car.
We hadn't settled on the car yet.
Sir.
We have not moved on the car yet.
Well, I won't move either. I'll stay
and right if here. This gentleman, if one of your people are going to be on FMLA for 6 months and they're in a county vehicle...
Sir.
The people on FMLA, are they in a county vehicle or are they in a personal vehicle?
One of them is in a county vehicle and the other one's in his own vehicle.
Well, let the one in the county vehicle use that new full-time employee use the FMLA vehicle for now. That'd be my motion and not do anything with funding yet.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I second that.
I have a motion and a second. Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay.
Thank you.
Put him in the other vehicle. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay, Constable Precinct 3.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Commissioner, Judge.
Morning.
Gentlemen, I'm asking the court 14A, consider and allow Constable Precinct 3 to assign the detective to be promoted to sergeant position number 5531-6010-3 at a 12-year sergeant on the current step plan due to experience. Requested increase would be funded from attrition and will not increase the fiscal year 2018 budget.
Second.
Motion and second. Any questions or comments?
And this is replacing a retired?
Yes, sir.
Recently retired?
Yes, sir.
Officer at a much higher?
Much higher pay.
Pay.
Yes, sir.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. B, consider and approve the purchase of one fully equipped patrol vehicle to be assigned to the employee replacing a recently vacated position, which included a vehicle stipend, which allows roughly $16,144.82 remaining in the vehicle stipend line item to be moved to 5531.7573 to be used towards this purchase, and we ask that you name a funding source for the balance.
Move and just purchase this the way we have in the past, where we anticipate future savings from the stipend going forward.
It's only about 14, it's $13,963.11 that's the remaining.
Got it.
Okay.
And this is what we've done in the past. We get out of the stipend and into a county car.
Yes, sir. Okay. What's left in that stipend to pay down the vehicle.
Yep.
Okay. We have a motion.
Yes, sir. Move.
Second.
And second. Any other questions or comments?
And the funding will be just as it's done in the past. Yeah. Using the future stipend that won't be there.
Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. 14C, we're asking the court to consider and approve increasing salary position 5531-8550-1 to $58,479.98. And in this agenda item, it indicates to please name a funding source. We're not asking for that. This will not affect our current budget.
And you're actually returning roughly $10,000 to the court?
We're hoping to maintain what is left till budget comes up, Commissioner, but we'll do what we need to do. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Move. Whose hope is bigger?
We'll leave it there for now.
Yes, sir.
I'll earmark it.
Thank you, Commissioner.
So we have a motion?
Yeah. Move.
Second.
And a second. Any other questions or comments?
On B, where you said let the stipend pay for it, there's actually additional funds that are going to be needed for that because there's only $13,963. So we will need a funding source still.
Correct. But in the past, when we bought these vehicles, we've used
future stipend.
Future stipend to the
so
savings. Right.
Yes.
Okay. Perfect. Thank y'all.
Maybe that 10,000.
Yeah, Ryan. Mm-hmm. Maybe we.
I think the commissioner's throwing out an increased number there, Judge. But we'd be happy to review our numbers.
Okay.
And you'll get back with us on this.
Sir, I'd like to handle this right now.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Okay,
thank you, Connor.
Mm-hmm. We need a funding source for that because it can't be paid from
step
plan fund.
We will use our current budget line item. 7390.
Okay. So do you need an amended motion with that funding source?
Yes.
Move.
Okay, so we'll second using funding source 7390.
Okay.
Out of 5531-7390.
Yep.
All in favor?
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Gentlemen, let me ask one quick question, and if this is the place to do it, but when we come back for asking the court to purchase a vehicle where there's a car stipend leaving, is that something we need to consider to come to court on, or is that something that can be put on consent?
I'd just put it on the agenda. And
yeah, because we probably need to look at those as we move.
It's always been on the agenda open. I'd put it there.
Yeah.
So thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Constable.
Have a good morning.
Two.
Hey.
District Attorney.
Thank you. Morning, gentlemen.
Collie, how are you?
Morning.
Good, sir. Consider and approve reopening temporary position 4351-3991-700, part-time intern at a rate of $17.73 per hour with an effective date of 1/24/2018, end date of 5/11/2018. Funding for this position totals approximately $7,185.47, salary and fringe benefits, and will be paid from the district attorney asset forfeiture funds.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Animal shelter. Good morning.
Good morning, Judges and Commissioners. This morning I wanted to just kind of give you guys an update of what's been going on, and then also just sort of recap what's happened over the last year. To begin with, for I just want to let you all know, for 2017, our live release rate for the shelter was 92.6%. The national no-kill percentage is anything that's over 90%. So that was a good accomplishment for the shelter. This was a result of over 6,400 adoptions and over 5,300 transfers and the more than 700 return to owners that we processed through the year. Achieving this live release rate was a collective effort of the staff, animal control, the shelter, everybody working as a team along with the community, volunteers, and rescues. Going forward, we aim to monitor our live release rate and look to having it over 90% every month of the year to make the end total over 90%. A few months after my arrival here at Montgomery County Animal Shelter, we had Harvey come through. As you all know, it was quite a busy time for all of us. We had done the pop-up shelter at the fairgrounds, which processed over 1,000 animals during that time, just that month period. We even rescued 40-plus horses from a severely flooded pasture. And post-Harvey, we received national recognition from the PECO Foundation and were awarded 3 grants totaling more than $275,000. In the later half of the year, or just before Harvey, we had the Clear the Shelters, which was the national event. We processed over 200 adoptions that day, which was one of the largest for the shelters in the region, which was pretty impressive. We also were able, with the court's approval, we were able to purchase a digital x-ray machine. That x-ray machine has been installed and is operational. Along with other equipment, the HVAC system has been installed and is operational as well. We have a lot of groups that have assisted us over the year. Just to name a few, we've been started to work with the Heartworm Foundation. They basically provide services to decrease the barriers for adopters for dogs that are heartworm positive. A lot of people kind of shy away from those, and so they're offering to treat those animals for free. We have Operation Pets Alive, who does a lot of transports, helps us with off-site vetting for specialized care. Lone Star Animal Welfare League, who's donated numerous things. Storage Shed for supplies post-Harvey. They've also sponsored 1,000 free microchips for Montgomery County residents, which is still going on. So if anybody needs a free microchip for their dog or cat, they're more than welcome to come down. So we really want to just kind of thank all the groups that have really worked with us and kind of kept a positive environment. We really appreciate everybody's help. OPA, Heartworm Foundation, Lone Star Animal Welfare League, Best Friends, who came and helped us during Harvey, Target Zero, the PECO Foundation, as well as the community and the court support. Looking forward to 2018 here. We're hoping to have the new cages in early spring that were approved by the court, and I believe we're on today's agenda as well. As well as the multi-use adoption trailer, which is expected to be here mid to late March. Once we receive the trailer, we hope to increase our off-site adoption events, do mobile adoptions, as well as try starting holding low and no-cost spay-neuter events. And you guys have any questions or anything, any comments?
Congratulations on your achievement.
Appreciate that. Team has done a really good job stepping up, working hard. Been a good collective effort.
Shelter looks really great, and it's cleaner than it's ever been. So
thank you.
You did a great job, sir.
To move to the agenda items, we during budget hearings, we were asked to come back and just work within our budget. So that's kind of what we're doing. We had an employee who was in a lead clinic tech position who has left. So we're looking to upgrade the lead clinic tech position to a vet tech supervisor position as listed. And we also would like to upgrade a clerk to a customer service supervisor position. And this is all working within our current budget, just kind of reworking our org chart to better structure things so that we have basically first level supervisors.
Yeah, Commissioners, while I'm not in favor of midterm changes or mid-year changes, this is something we did ask him to come back and bring to us, you know, when we indicated we never really got, they never got to present their budget.
Right.
Actually, during budget time. We said, work within your numbers and do what needs to be done and come back to us. So.
What you've done, so I move.
Second. Any other questions or comments, Commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Opposed.
Motion carries.
The next item on the agenda is consider and approve adding a cell phone allowance to position 6331-8933-1 effective January 27, 2018. Total amount would be $1,007.39, which includes benefits. This will not affect the 2018 budget. Funding would come from 6331-9538-1.
Move.
Second. Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you. Purchasing.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
This item is to approve, authorize and approve change orders with 4D Construction for the Precinct 2 project. There's three change orders. The total is $74,501.
I move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
The next item is to approve the award of Project 1827, which is the animal cages and kennels for animal shelter. The total from Shoreline, who is the low bidder, is $234,866.50.
Move.
This amount was budgeted.
In their budget.
It's in their budget.
And that doesn't include installation. That's just the cages, right?
Installation.
Okay.
Correct.
You're going to install them yourself since you're so good at building dog houses now?
If I could find some more time in the day, I probably could. But, yeah, that does include all the cages. So this is what we had talked about previously with all redoing all the cat cages so it's a more humane condition for the cats, as well as the small dog stray and small dog adopt area. Those cages are just absolutely falling apart. But this was part of the stuff that I came and presented and you guys approved, and this was part of that carryover money that we had.
Second. Second. It does include installation.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I thought you said does not.
It does.
Thank
we
you.
We had a motion great from you, Commissioner.
Second.
And a second.
Aye. Yeah.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Aye, thank you.
Thank you, Gilbert. We now need to recess our Commissioner's Court and convene a public hearing in Precinct 1.
Morning, BD.
Good morning.
Morning.
Commissioners, County Judge.
Morning.
Item 18A1 is a public hearing on the partial revision of unrestricted Reserve A, Block 1 of Max Alley at 1484, to be known as Max Alley at FM 1484, partial replat number 1. The purpose of this replat is to divide one commercial reserve into three commercial reserves.
And that's there at 2432, Willis Waukegan and 1484.
I believe
that's correct. Yeah. What is Max Alley? I've never heard of that. I talked with Phil Ferrone about it. Is that a, what is that?
That's
just
the
name
of the developer
reserve?
Or the name
okay
the developer gave to this initial tract.
Okay.
And my understanding is they're cutting it into three tracts. One of the purchasers of that one track, of one of the tracks, was here today to check on the progress of this. So they're ready to close one of those tracks.
Okay.
And the plat is ready, and it is, after assuming no bad comments in public hearings, it will be up for action after this hearing.
Do we have anyone here that would like to discuss this morning? I believe we do.
None. We'll now adjourn our public hearing and reconvene our Commissioner's Court and move. This will be item 9G1A that we moved from the consent agenda to this point in the agenda.
Correct.
Which will be the approval of this replat.
I move.
Correct, Judge.
I move.
Second.
Second.
Any other questions or comments, commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Precinct four, Commissioner.
Consider and approve a use agreement with Splendor Area Ball Association to use ball fields at Ipes Park for practice schedules now through December 31st, 2018. I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thought we were putting these on the consent agenda, Amy.
That was a input error, and it didn't get taken. It should have got put back to consent, but it didn't.
You get it right next time.
We can't come to budget review, so. Consider and approve the acceptance of a check in the amount of $1,250.12 from the City of Roman Forest for fuel reimbursement. This deposit in line item 615-7926. I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
What's those dollars?
Motion carries. All right, Human Resources, Dodie.
Gentlemen, please consider and approve the payroll change request forms.
Move.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, we now need to recess our Commissioners Court for executive session under Article 551071.
All right.
Let's bring the court back to order, please. Commissioners, out of executive session, would entertain a motion to approve a resolution in order to settle claim number A-17-0056 with the funding source named in the order.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Also, we need a motion to approve a resolution in order to settle claim number A-15-0039 with the funding source also named in the order.
Move.
Second.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, now we come to citizens' comments. For items that were not on the agenda, the only person to have signed up is Mr. Yollick.
Good morning. My name is Eric Yollick. I'm from Precinct 3. On March 12th, Judge Doyle, you were kind enough to give me some of your time and meet with me. And you and I and two other individuals met in your office on a Sunday afternoon. And at the end of the meeting, you asked a question, which was a fair question, which was, now that I've met with you, is my head off the chopping block? And I answered unequivocally no. Now, I wanted to address what I think was missing from that conversation at the very end of the meeting, and that is that I think that the next question should have been, why not? And I want to be very clear with the Commissioner's Court and you, Judge Doyle, that while I obviously am very critical of the Commissioner's Court, nothing that I say is intended as personal against any of the five of you. Instead, the reality is that I think that the people who really have their heads on the chopping block in this community are the taxpayers and the citizens of Montgomery County. And so the real question is, why is someone's head not off the chopping block? And the reality is that the reason that our heads are not off the chopping block is threefold primarily. Number one, right now you have the power to spend money, raise salaries, buy an ERP basically in a secret process, and ignore citizen proposals to cut spending, but you ignore citizen concerns about those items. Right now, you have the power to build the Woodlands Parkway extension, and it sounds like you're going to fund part of it as part of the toll road. Right now, you are ignoring citizen concerns about the Woodlands Parkway extension. And finally, very clearly, right now you have the power to build a toll road. You've clearly, consistently had three votes to two against it every single time, despite citizen objections over that toll road project. That's how people who are public servants can move their heads off the chopping block, and it is simply by moving the taxpayers' and the citizens' heads off the chopping block. Thank you for your time.
Mr. Yalik, I would refer you to Mr. Dubois, who was moderating a debate that I held the other day where you misconstrued my comments about the Woodlands Parkway. And get your facts straight, please. Thank you. Okay, any other comments that anyone would like to make? Mr. Turnbull.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I just wanted to, I didn't want to gum up the court works, not knowing how these things go, and y'all are finishing rather early today, but I wanted to offer just a small amount of clarification to the change order that we had on the repository building that we were putting up. The change order in this was, we had talked about building a place for the books with wind and weather and protection and storms and redundancy of power and all the things that would protect the paper records. But what we determined in the process is that we had some additional funds available and what we might could do with those things. And as a part of that, we had asked the architects to look at the possibility of extending the square footage and adding a data center component to this building that would house the electronic computer systems and things that store our images and records as well as the entire county. And so this was a situation where we're trying to add square footage to increase, I think, the safety and the reliability of all digital records in the county and all departments. And so hopefully this will be an addition that will bring greater reliability and protection to what we have as well as everyone else. Marshall Shirley had indicated that there were some things that he thought were some weaknesses and some deficiencies, and that this would improve their situation dramatically. So I just wanted to be sure that you were all aware that that's what that was referring to and talking about. And
thank
the
you.
Very much. Allowed
I think, you know, if we're going to build that building for storage, we need to look at all other possible uses for it and make it so it would accommodate, you know, some IT storage and maybe some other areas that may need some data storage. So that's a good move, Mark. Thank you.
Well, anyway, hopefully it'll benefit us and everyone else as well by upgrading that a little bit. So.
Good.
Okay. Thank
good.
You.
Thank you, Mark.
All right, any other comments? Go solo.
Good morning, gentlemen. Precinct 3, the Woodlands, Bill O'Sullivan. While we go through our processes in reviewing candidates, looking at the JP3 situation, it becomes readily apparent that you evidently embarked on getting a full-time ME, medical examiner with investigators, et cetera, and it's pretty important from what I'm seeing. I mean, we got caught in the cusp. We had 400-something thousand at the last census, which put us under the 500,000 limit at that time when you had to get an ME. Now, we'll be, at the next census, we'll be up over 600,000. And now the bar's been moved to 1 million. But by the time you get there, the work of the court, just in the day-to-day basis, without all the inquest requests and things you have to do, is going to be totally overbearing. I think you should just move and do it. Put it in the next budget or partially put it in the next budget in some way to have an ME and to have the amount of investigators are needed just to phase it in for where we are at over 600,000. Because it really, yesterday I happened to be chatting with Edie, and she said, you know, if you go to Commissioner's Court again, ask them. So that's what I'm doing. I'm up here, and Edie asked me, and I think it would be a great legacy for her, for a great service to the county, that it's something we can do.
Well, and the judge and I and the whole court, I mean, we've been moving forward with that process, okay, with Dr. Panieri coming on board to move
us. The reason we brought her here.
To a full ME, and we have one or two death investigators under her now. So it's just a process of trying to stay within our own budgetary guidelines of you know, a 5% budget reduction this past year and moving forward with that methodically. And one reason you can't jump to it now, we don't have the room in that building. I mean, the place that we're in, you need to go for it. I'll take you down there. It's in an old metal building that has been retrofitted a couple of times. And if you want to go, we'll go down there and you can see for the number of autopsies that they do and the place they work, they're busting at the seams.
That was one of the promises we made to Dr. Pineri, that we would look at building that new facility, you know, when she came on board, to make it, you know, state of the art.
Well, that's all part of the process.
Correct.
Okay, so, but I'm just saying that it became readily apparent. You've already realized it. Well, I can't say anything further nice about you.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you. All right, anybody else? With that, we are adjourned.
All right.